The Holy Gospel
according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jewish people who came with her also weeping. He was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jewish people said, "See how he loved him." But then some of them said, "Could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Then Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of your God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him. Let him go." The Gospel of our Lord.
Please be seated. Grief. We are all swimming around in it this All Saints Sunday. This is a day set apart to be able to pay attention to those that we've lost this year or in all of our years. And even if it's been 30 years ago or 3 years ago or it happened this year, this is a time set apart when you think about those people. And this is that thin place that God's created for us to mourn and to recognize the ways that we are mourning in our everyday lives but aren't necessarily given space to talk about it publicly. This is our public time to be able to feel that grief. And it can be hard to do that because we think, well, is it enough? Does God care about these little griefs of mine or these moments that I feel in my everyday life or even today? Is it big enough? Is it worthy enough for this grief? Or worthy enough? Is God going to pay attention to my grief? And in our Revelations texts, we hear that God's home is among mortals. God made their home among mortals. It's as if God is slipping off their coat, coming in our doors, taking off their icy boots, sitting down on our sofas, and saying, "I promise to put down roots here with you, and I care. I'm right here with you." Because God is dwelling among us in these breakable vessels, these bodies that remember the pain and the grief of those we've lost. God's with us in our hardened barriers that we create around ourselves, hoping to protect ourselves. And even those little sparks, God's with our little yearnings to have hope and joy, even amongst the grief and the hurt. And one of the beautiful things we have is that we have a gospel that shows us this multitude of grief with Mary and Martha and Jesus and all of these people that were around mourning Lazarus and his death. And this feels especially pertinent for me. A couple weeks ago, I joined other Lutheran clergy around Alaska, and we had a conference, and the topic was grief, especially clergy grief and how people cope with grief in different ways. And one of my main takeaways was something called the dual process of coping for grief. So talking about how grief reaches out to us in our everyday lives and how we deal with it every day. And one of our members, Tim, created a beautiful tapestry that shows this coping or this process of coping. So I wanted to share it with you today. So this dual process model of coping doesn't necessarily have the idea of stages where I'm done with this stage and I move to the other one. It says that we go in between loss and also healing all the time, many times in our day. And so it has one side that is loss, and that's when you really are feeling the reality of the hurt, where it's right there. You can't even think about eating or sleeping. It's just right there. You're accepting the grave, crushing feeling of grief. And then the other side is restoration, which is when you're thinking, I could have joy about the fact that it's sunny outside right now. Or I can feel those little pieces coming back, doing new things, creating new routines without that person in your life. Attending to life changes or making the meeting out of that loss. So saying, oh, you can step back and say, oh wow, that was a precious person for me. And not necessarily sticking in the I can't go on, but recognizing that it happened and going on. And this process is all happening in your everyday lived experience that's surrounded by this. And the whole point of this is that you don't stick in loss or restoration, but you're moving between the two, like maybe even five times a day. You have a morning, you're having breakfast, and you want to cry, and then you're walking to work, and then you feel a little bit of joy in your step, and that is happening all the time. And my facilitator for this was talking about how it's unhealthy to stick in either loss or restoration. That if you were to be in loss every single day, you wouldn't be able to take on new things and to move on and to see the ways that there can be joy. But if you were stuck in restoration and just saying, if I don't stop moving, I will collapse, then you're not taking time to have that healing and that pause. And I thought of this dual process of coping when I was reading this gospel, because we can even see it happening in our gospel text. So I'm going to have us reread this gospel. This is a participatory sermon. I'm warning you right now. We're going to read this text, and I will offer up times for you to guess. Is this person in loss? Are they in restoration? Or are they somewhere in the middle? Are they kind of moving in it? So go ahead and look at that if you'd like to. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Where do you think Mary is in that instance?
Loss.
Yeah, she's very much in an anger, loss space. So let's continue on. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jewish people who came with her were also weeping, so where are those people?
Lost.
Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where do you think he is?
Lost too.
Jesus said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep.
Lost.
Where is she? Lost. Yeah. So he's deeply in this loss too. So they're all kind of in this corner right here. So the Jewish people said, "See how he loved him." Where do you think they are when they're noticing that?
Restoration.
They're kind of stepping back and saying, wow, there's meaning in this relationship. There's some beauty in that. But then some of them also said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Where do you think they are? In loss. It's kind of a mixture, because they're making meaning of it, but they're also wanting to not have this have happened. So it gets complicated. That's what's beautiful about this. It has room for the complicated feelings. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Where do you think Jesus is in that moment?
Restoration.
In restoration. And then Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Where do you think Martha is?
Lost.
She also could be in the restoration. It kind of has, because she could be thinking, okay, well, I know when bodies do. Kind of looking at what do we go from here? Is it going to be good to take away the stone? So, yeah, there's no right answer for this either. So, we're just guessing at things. We're interpreting. And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Where is Jesus in that moment?
Restoration.
Yeah. So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And then when Jesus had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" Where is he in that moment?
Restoration.
The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him, let him go." Where does our gospel end?
Restoration.
So it does these, there's this movement that Jesus is doing. Jesus stays in the loss, but also moves into restoration. Even if other people aren't ready to go in the oscillating pieces. But Jesus is modeling for us this coping, how to hold both together, have that loss and that restoration. I'll keep this over there if you want to look at it after service. There's a lot of good details in here, but I'll keep it up for now. Thank you for playing along with that. So as Mary and Martha yearn, we too are with them when they say, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother might not have died." And we too could call out to God, saying, "If you were here, God, our sister wouldn't have died. Our parent wouldn't have died. Our children wouldn't have died. Our grandparents wouldn't have died." We have these dreams of magical thinking. And we even have this text that says that wants to sweep us into God's unending story, that God is going to wipe away every tear, create a world that is unbound by death. But first, we have a model in our gospel in which God is weeping with us. Christ greatly exposes himself
and models the holiness of the deep. This act of grieving is made sacred by God. Jesus sets aside a moment to feel, to be in that loss, with no solutions to share yet, just a big empty space to heal. And then Jesus shifts into restoration, saying, "Lazarus, come out," saying, "Unbind him, let him go." Christ echoes that for us, saying, "You, child of God, come out. Be in this coping process. Be in that pause of loss and in the movement to healing. Because there can be no more loss, no more hiding, because God has created us for abiding." Christ says, "Unbind yourself. Be welcomed into that restoration. Let yourself go, because we are God's new creation." Amen.